The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And so any believer that quits is going against his or her given nature.
Next, best-selling authors John and Lisa Bevere challenge believers to be relentless.
So, but what happened was, is God will allow things to come, and God expects us to fight back.
And if you're going to be relentless for truth, you're going to come up against things where people are going to be mad when you speak truth, but you have to love.
Discover what it takes to finish well. Next.
It's a joy to come join you wherever you are. I've said in your home, and I've had people come say, I'm not watching at home. I'm out somewhere. I'm in a hotel, or you may be at a bar. I don't know where you are. We're glad you're watching. I'm James Robinson. My wife, Betty, and I welcome you to life today. We've got some close friends back, John and Lisa Bevere. They're very gifted communicators, a beautiful couple, and wonderful parents, and now grandparents. It's just hard to believe because they seem like they're kids to us. John has written a book. They've written many great books, both of them have. This one is called Relentless, The Power You Need to Never Give Up. Now, John has told us in the book that he used to quit at everything. He'd quit everything halfway through. But something happened to him to make him relentless. He's been relentless ever since I've known him. But we're also going to talk about how things come in our lives that really throw circumstances and catastrophic situations in our path or almost indescribable, sometimes difficult to define pressure that comes. And where does it come from? And how do we deal with it? Well, he touches on that in so many, I think, very insightful ways in the book Relentless. Would you welcome John Bevere and his wife Lisa to Life Today? We're really glad to have you back. Always glad to have you. Any time you want to come. I don't guess Lisa and Betty and I knew you a whole lot when you were the quitter, because you've always seemed to stick to it pretty good since we've known you. But, I mean, was it like when you were a kid, did your parents or somebody told you you were a quitter? Or you
just I was a quitter.
You didn't need anybody to tell you.
Okay, I took piano lessons. This lady taught piano all of her life. I was the only student she ever had. She went to the parents and said, would you please let him quit? I tried guitar, then I quit. I used to go out with girls. I feared that I would never be able to get married and stay married because I get tired after girls after two or three dates, or they get tired at me way before. I played baseball, I quit. I played track and field and quit after a year. I could go on and on. So it was so bad that when I came home from college and I told my mom, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord. I am now a Christian. My mom looked at me and she said, is this another one of your fads? Are you going to quit this too like everything else?
Wow.
Matter of fact, she didn't say it that nice. She said, this is one of your fads. You'll quit this like everything else. And I said, Mom, this is real watch. And sure enough, she's in the fad now 30 years later and she gives away my books. But God changed me. And, you know, Jesus is not a quitter. No human being has ever gone through the adversity that Jesus went through. And right. He stayed with it. His nature has been imparted to us as believers. So any believer that quits is going against his or her given nature. My nature was a quitter. I was a sinner. I was a failure. But Jesus rescued us and he changed us from the inside out. And this is the glorious news of the gospel.
And if you get serious about him, you will face adversity even from people. Many times have I been pressed upon and inspired to quote the scripture, for consider him. Yeah. Who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds.
Right.
Contradiction of sinners. And by the way, some of those sinners are church folks, Christians. Some of them are preachers. Have you ever had any Christians accuse you and attack you to where you had to stop and consider him, lest you be weary? Because they say, have you ever known people say things about your husband or about yourself, even coming sometimes from the unexpected circles of church settings?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you have to consider Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, and it says, woe to you when all people speak well of you. And so sometimes you have to just say, you know, that's just part of it. I mean, if you're going to be relentless for truth, you're going to come up against things where people are going to be mad when you speak truth. But you have to love. And you have to have a relentless love response, which is what I love. Because in the end of the day, we're not supposed to disband. And so you have to forgive. And you have to just go, you know what? I'm not going to be offended because they're attacking John. I'm not going to be upset because I feel misjudged. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to press on with truth.
Well, you know, I'm doing this right now in some unusual settings because I've always been rather forceful and bold and outspoken. You agree?
You know me for quite a while. I would be kind of
a right-wing Top Gun gunslinger and all that stuff, you know, and very forceful. And right now, God is leading me to speak the truth to people that I would disagree with or that I believe are out of step, let's say, with the Word of God. But I've been called of God, compelled of God to speak it to them in love, mm-hmm. which means that I have to be seen with them or spend some time with them.
Right.
And you know, it's not safe to be seen. Ask Jesus. I mean, after all, he really made a big mistake when he went home and sat on the sofa of a Pharisee with a prostitute kneeling at his feet. I mean, this is not real good for your reputation around town.
And he went to mafia parties.
Absolutely. And he hung out with the Sadducees. And he went and talked to a Samaritan woman alone when nobody else was around. For heaven's sake, what's he doing?
Right.
My goodness. Well, when you do these things, which I'm determined that I'm going to love people, that some have said, well, they're enemies. They're even enemies of the truth. They're enemies of the faith. I'm going to love them and talk to them. I'm never going to compromise truth. I'm never going to waver. I'm never going to bend. And I'm not going to bend in love. I'm going to be relentless in love. Does that make sense?
Yes,
absolutely. I'm going to relentlessly love everybody. I don't agree with them.
Yep.
But I'm going to relentlessly love them.
Right.
I'm not going to allow what I call now a spirit of divorce to cause me to divide from every person
right.
I find some point of disagreement with.
Yeah.
How many marriages would last if we divorced over every disagreement?
Correct.
Because we weren't committed to the one who called us to commitment in the first place.
Absolutely.
And one of the commitment calls is to love. So I'm going to be relentless in love. Does that actually even fit into the book anywhere? I want.
Well, yeah, because God's...
Because I'm going to be relentless about love whether you got it in your book or not.
It's awesome.
Well, God says that he commands his blessing where brethren dwell together in unity. And it seems to me that the church over the past 30 years of my, you know, ministry experience has found more reasons to divide than to unite. And I kind of take up with you on that because I always look at is what do we agree upon? And because if you look at Jesus, he said, the glory that you've given me, I've given them that they might be one. Mm-hmm. There's a glory mm-hmm. reserved for when we become one. If you right. look at the upper room, it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesus, he ministered to hundreds of thousands of people, and he told 500 to go to the upper room, but after 10 days, there's only 120, and there's a reason for that. These guys were committed to be one, mm-hmm. because Peter's left in charge, and mm-hmm. Peter's always sticking his foot in his mouth. We all know that, right? Every time he opens it. We did in the upper room. He came out of his morning devotions and said, guys, I read a scripture. Judas was going to betray Jesus. It says right here in the book of Psalms. It says somebody's supposed to take his place. He says, so find all the guys that have been with us ever since the beginning, and let's draw lots and pray and see who God's chosen. Now, we all know God doesn't pick an apostle through a lottery system. I mean, and you see the fruit of his choice. I mean, Matthias and Justice were chosen. Matthias wins the lottery. You never hear his name again the rest of the Bible. I mean, Paul was the one said that I was one born out of due time. Paul was God's choice to replace Judas. But yet, mm-hmm. here's Peter out of sync, making a completely out of sync decision, totally out of God's will, mm-hmm. right? If that happened today in America, we would have had a three-way church split. We would have had the anti-lottery apostle-picking group split off. We would have had the apostles passed away when Jesus ascended to heaven group split off. And we would have had the lottery apostle-picking group stay. Okay? And yet, you read the very next verse. It says they were all with one accord. And what happens? The glory of God comes and 3,000 people get saved. Without even an announced meeting, mm-hmm. okay? Because why? He commands his blessing where we're one. This is right. what you're doing. James, you are a father in the yeah. faith. I look at you as a father. I respect you as a father. Mm-hmm. And you are speaking right now such wisdom. And people will come up and go, you're crazy. But Jesus ate with mafia. The tax collectors were the mafia. He went to their parties because Jesus loved people. If a person decides they're going to turn away from God, that's between them and God. our job is to be ambassadors of God. Right. We bring the love of God to them. Right. If they reject it, that's between them and God. But you made a statement when we were having dinner tonight, we don't lose our bearings in Christ. Mm-hmm. We become all things to all people so we may win the more, but we keep our bearings, absolutely, our personal bearings in Christ. Right. We don't compromise, mm-hmm, truth.
And we got to understand that one of the greatest compromises at all is when you don't love all people and when you won't, that's, love, right, your enemies. For heaven's, right, sake, there had to be some enemies that he knew would come in your path to love.
Yep.
And you know what? One day I was, I think it was shaving, exactly. I was standing in the bathroom looking in the mirror, and I wasn't seeing God, you know, but seeing me standing there, and I'm saying, Lord, I really love you. I really do love you, Lord. And he says, how much? I said, well, I really love you. He said, more than the least of these. And I said, well, sure. And then he said, well, and just who might you consider to be the least of these?
Wow.
And my mind began to race. And you know what came? Religious people that I decided I didn't like.
Wow.
Religious people that had done something that offended me or I was really, really certain was out of step. They had become the least. And the Lord said, they're not least to me.
Wow.
Because I'm after every one of them. Just like I was after you when you were wrong. Mm-hmm. And when you needed me, while you were a defeated preacher and in many ways deceived yourself, I was still after you.
Wow.
And I want you to go with me after the people who have failed, who are flawed, who have fleas,
wow,
so, yeah, to speak.
Well, that answers my question now, why Jesus ate with that Pharisee. I'm sitting there going, why is he eating with that Pharisee? What's he giving that time for that religious person for? You know, has anybody ever thought that? But yet he didn't consider that Pharisee the least.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that Pharisee considered that woman the least, mm-hmm, Jesus didn't consider either of them.
And Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And it is also when he shows you some of the people we've overlooked all over the world, which is what we do when we go and feed the hungry. Mm-hmm. These people feel overlooked and forgotten.
Right.
They feel like we're the least on planet Earth. Nobody noticed us. And when you come in the name of the Lord and you notice people and you begin to help them, it is a real miracle. And I want to thank both of you for going to the mission field with us. You know, right now we're drilling water wells because our viewers love to give people more than a cup of water. They like to give them a well of water, and that's a real joy to do that. And we want to thank you because you've been a real blessing in that area too. Thanks to both of you.
We're honored to be able to partner with you in that. We love that we have an opportunity to partner with someone that we know is doing something. We've gotten to see it for on hand and seen the impact of the village where, you know, really one of the villages, they all just really became Christians just because they said, these must be angels that have brought us clean water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even understand the impact from an American vantage of what that does over there in Cambodia, but it's been an incredible privilege.
You know, one of the things, John, you and I were talking about when we were discussing Relentless and just looking at the need for people to understand that no matter what comes, they need to be relentless in it, that when you feel like you've been dealt a bad hand. I mean, you got a bad deal, something terrible happened. Where'd it come from? God, why'd you do this? Or God, why'd you let it happen?
Mm-hmm.
And what the Lord showed me to try to answer the very serious question, you know, when people ask Jesus questions, he would normally answer it, or he would answer it with a question to them, mm-hmm, to try to show them where they were tracking. But what the Lord showed me when very sincerely I went to him, and I actually went in behalf of others because I found myself yielded to the Lord and I'm able to take the shaping process, but I wanted to understand it better in order to answer better. Well, the Lord showed me is if we are, and the Old Testament prophets made it clear, that we are clay in the potter's hand. Now, you know, clay, in order to be shaped, has to be yielded, has to be pliable, flexible, has to be shapeable. If we're clay in God's hand, mm-hmm, then the pressure that comes on our life is either coming from the hand of God, from the fingers of God, or it is being filtered through the fingers of God.
Yeah.
And in that adversity, we don't have to get lost in the source of pressure, but the purpose of the pressure. If we're relentlessly pursuing him and his will, mm-hmm, then the pressure will shape Christ's likeness, that's in right, us, mm-hmm, whether it is an assault of the enemy or the accuser, or whether it is simply the shaping pressure of God to shape Christ into us.
You know, that's so true because, you know, God will allow or actually place pressure on us with his hand. I mean, there's times you can see it all through the Bible.
Absolutely.
But the thing that I think the thing that helps everybody, because you have people out there that they're bitter with God. I've met them. I've met pastors that are bitter with God,
mm-hmm,
because a pastor resented God because his baby died. Okay. And he opened up to me. He said, John, I'm angry at God. And I'll never forget the brokenness, mm-hmm, and the dividing line of the whole Bible is John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If the pressure involves killing, destruction, or stealing, or death, it's not from God's hand. It's through. He didn't author it because the Bible says God is impervious to evil and he will not put evil in anyone's way. Don't be deceived. That's what James said. So, but what happened was, is God will allow things to come and God expects us to fight back because, you know, you look at Jesus. Jesus didn't let the storm just kill them. He spoke to the storm and said, I rebuke you. Every good soldier in a war realizes who his enemy is. When he's in training camp, his officers are putting a lot of pressure on him. Why? Because they're trying to save him when he's out there in that battle. Mm-hmm. And there are times God will put pressure on us. He put pressure on Joseph because he wants to save us when we're out there in the real battle. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's the way that helps me, I know, determine, mm-hmm. is this thing God allowing or putting pressure on me because my character needs some good shaping up? Or is this the enemy and do I flat out have to fight right now?
Absolutely. That's great. You appreciate what John is sharing. You appreciate his testimony. The book Relentless is in the bookstores. I want to put John and Lisa's website up so you can find out where they'll be speaking because both of them speak all over the world. Both of them write incredible material, great books. If you'd like to have it for any gift, we'll be glad to send it to you too. You just ask. But do be praying for them. I want to show you something I know is going to touch your hearts. I want to show you the scenes right now that we're addressing. We have targeted over 300 areas that the missionaries have brought to our attention where the need is desperate and where the love is there. They just need clean water. I want you to look, please. This is going to be probably, in many ways, one of the most inspirational scenes you're going to witness because it is very real. Mm-hmm. But it's something that you can be the complete answer to. I mean, this is not like one of those issues, one of those challenges you wish you could do something about. You really can change this totally. I want you to watch closely.
ឈឺពោះហើយកូននេះក៏រៀកមានក្តៅខ្លួនរីអាចលេខលក់បាយក៏បានដែរខ្លាចកូនឈឺណាមួយអត់លុយមើលវាតែឈឺនឹងមកតែអត់ទីខំទេមកខ្លាចវាឆ្លាប់ដោយអមុនខ្ញុំកូនខ្ញុំរៀបដាក់ខ្ចោខ្ញុំថាកូនឯងខ្ញុំជាតិមកជាតិក្រោយទៅចាប់ជាតិជាមួយគេដាក់មានលុយគេមើលវាជា ដល់វាប្រាប់ខ្ញុំវិញថាម៉ែម៉ែឯងកុំយំនិយាយថាកុំឲ្យខ្ញុំយំខ្ញុំគាត់ថាខ្ញុំបានយំតិចកូនខ្ញុំសោកស្ដាយណាស់ខ្ញុំបានមានលុយមើលកូនឲ្យកូនងាប់ ក៏អត់ដែរហើយរួចហើយក៏បានលុយកូនខ្ញុំងាប់កូនខ្ញុំងាប់ហើយដែរខ្ញុំមកវិញមកអត់តូនកូនឆ្លាប់ទេកូននឹងក៏ឆ្លាប់បាត់តូបដែរខ្ញុំមកដល់ដែរទៅប្រាប់ទៅមកដល់សួរថាកូនឆ្លាប់ខ្ញុំយកទៅកាប់ផាត់តូបខ្ញុំចង់ការមើលកូន
Pish, I know you can't. You can't see me and Betty. We'll drill you well, and we'll do it with a joy unspeakable. I don't want another baby to die in your arms. I don't want any babies to die in anybody's arms because they just need some clean water. All right, that's a well. But every time we've ever seen a mother I feel like she's not only crying out for her child, but for others, and I think there are people watching who can drill a well for somebody else.
I know there are. That's one mother out of so many that are crying out, save my baby. I want my baby to live. I've seen one baby die. Don't take my last baby. I need my baby. And when the solution, the mother knows what's killing her babies, but she doesn't have the source to help her baby. But we do. We have to give our love, our care, and the drilling of the well. That's what she needs. She needs the fresh, clean water.
Sometimes we get some really, really unkind emails that question what we do or why we do it. They question why I love people that I may disagree with or I'm convinced they're not right about a lot of things. I love them so much, I want them to know the truth that can set us all free, and I know love never fails. But sometimes we've had people say, well, you just can turn on the tears, and, you know, we just... There was a day when I'd want to punch you out. I'm past that, but I'm not past weeping, and I'm not past trying to do what I can, no matter what somebody would say. I hear not only that mother's cry, I hear the heart of God. I love the little children of the world, and I touch them through people like you. And the viewers of our program, so many of you, you are the most beautiful examples of the love of God. Because you look and you hear and you say, I can do that. I wish I could do more. And you know what? Some of you, I know if you had it to do, you would do it with it. You'd use it. Well, I want everyone to know there's a level at which you can help. Betty and I, we're gonna take care of that spot where Pish is praying and crying out. And we do that so gratefully and joyfully. Would you drill a well where another mother's heart is crying out? Could you give the $4,800? That's what it costs now. I don't know how long it'll be at that level with the petroleum and energy costs rising, but that's what it is now. And we've got 350 areas where the mothers are crying out like that. Would you drill a well? Would you drill a portion of a well with a $1,200 or $2,400 gift and pray the others will join you? But I want you, please remember, $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. That's basically the breakdown. $144, 30 people water. Don't you think because somebody can give a well and you can only give $48, that may be the biggest gift given today, given at this moment. That may be the biggest gift. That could be like the widow's mite. But you go to the phone, take your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use it. Write a check, make it to Life, call us and tell us you're mailing it, or go to lifetoday.org and you can make your gift right now online. Please be an answer to that mother's cry. Be an answer to the will of God and an expression of the heart of God. Reach out right now and touch someone with love. Would you do it, please? If you get a busy, you be so determined and so persistent. I'm going to do my part sharing the heart of God. I'm going to give a cup of water, a well of water in Jesus' name. I'm going to do it. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on Life Today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I have spent my day traveling up and down this river. We have seen the graves of children that have died because they drank from this river. We want to do something about it. Mission Water for Life can drill wells, but we need you to respond. This is a global problem. This isn't just isolated to this river. This river is just a small picture of rivers worldwide. The need is desperate and urgent. Open your heart and give freely so these children won't die.
I just have so much gratitude for your help. We are sending you some beautiful gifts today. You know, John and Lisa have been here, John Bevere's book, Relentless. If you'd like to have it for any gift, we'll be glad to send it to you, too. You just ask. John, we appreciate you. Lisa, we appreciate you.
James, can I say something? That story so touched everybody. I hope we can inspire, but we want to drill a well.
Absolutely.
So I just want to say maybe some people could call and join with Lisa and I and Messenger International, and maybe some businesses could do that, maybe some families,
some
and or some, you know, but if they can't do a full well, maybe a half a well, but we want to do a well for the people of Cambodia.
Thank you. Would you just say thanks to everybody, John, Lisa? Again, thanks to you. We applaud you and we thank you for your love. You have no idea what your love and your friendship and your prayers to me and Betty mean to us and to missionaries and to those in need all over the world. Thank you.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores.
Jesus is telling somebody listening or watching today to do something that you've already done.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.